All right, today we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. For the next few weeks, we're going to do a sermon series on some key themes in Proverbs. We did some highlights in Proverbs 3 years ago, and for those of you whose those sermons are still fresh in your mind, you can rest assured that these are new sermons coming along. Proverbs is a book full of wisdom. That's one of the dominant themes, as we shall see. A proverb is a simple, short saying that expresses truth. We have some of those in our culture, in the English language. A stitch in time saves... Okay, we are awake. Very good. Okay. So some of what the book of Proverbs has is just short sayings like that that give nuggets of truth and so forth. But there's some dominant themes, wisdom being one of them, along with fearing the Lord. There's the themes of two ways of living. You're either a wise person or you're a fool. Also, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Wisdom is talked about as if she is a person. And women might like to point out that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is a woman. There's an emphasis on the blessing that comes when we live according to wisdom. So we'll be seeing some of those things as we go through. For today's purposes, our message title is as follows: seeking wisdom, fearing the Lord, and being blessed. And as we'll see as we go through here, that we're blessed, first of all, because God chooses to bless us. But then as we choose by His grace to live according to His standards in a relationship with Christ, more blessings come. So the blessings start with God, but as we walk in wisdom, more blessings come, and it makes us more fruitful for the glory of God, as we'll see. We're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll look at these opening 8 verses. And I chose this passage partially because it hits on some of these main themes of the entire book, including wisdom and fearing the Lord, and how blessings come with that. Let me just say that in chapter 1, if we were to work through that, we'd see in the opening 7 verses that there is a call to... Proverbs is written, it's addressed towards sons, but it would be for daughters as well, and for people who are grown up. It does have a theme on discipling young people from parents, but also the community of faith. There's a call to fear the Lord, and from there comes wisdom, and to listen to our fathers' and mothers' instructions, and to hear the call of wisdom itself. Wisdom is personified beginning in verse 20 in chapter 1, and that wisdom calls out. But in chapter 1, the scripture says that there are many who refuse to listen. So by the time we get to chapter 2 that we're about to read, Solomon, who's writing here, has already said that wisdom calls out for people to listen to her, but many refuse to do so, and great problems will arise. And if you go the way of the wicked, it's going to end up in complete destruction for you. So on that theme and on that note, we pick up in chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You as Lord Yahweh, the God who has called Your people into fellowship with Yourself. We praise You for Your wisdom. We praise You, Christ Jesus, the wisdom from God that's come to earth. Thank You for Your word, which is truth and full of wisdom. And we pray that our hearts would have a hunger to know Your wisdom, that we would know You and know how to live in a way that glorifies You and that's best for us. So we commit this time to you and ask that you would speak to us, purify us, and fill us as we feed on the Word of God together. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first main point. We are called to seek wisdom. That's what's emphasized in these opening four verses. And this whole chapter goes together. We're just going to cover the first eight verses. But in these first four verses, there's a call to seek wisdom. And there's three ifs. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this. And then we don't find out the then until we get, I think, there to verse 5. So we're going to take a look at these three ifs and what we learn from them. And here's the first one. We should seek wisdom by receiving and treasuring godly instruction and commands. And we should do so with attentive ears and inclined hearts. Notice again verses 1 and 2. My son, if... Okay, this is a conditional. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. There's a condition here. If you'll do this, and will we do this? And again, let me say, so Proverbs, there's an emphasis on written to young people and young people receiving the instruction from parents. But what's in the book of Proverbs is for all people, whether we consider ourselves young or not, whether we've had godly parents or not, because the church is also the family of God. And so the things we learn here from Proverbs and how young people should learn from godly parents is also true of us as believers, how we should learn from one another. And let me also say before I go on, what's not addressed here is that those who are doing the parenting, those who are doing the mentoring and the teaching, we should take to heart to how to do that in a Christ-like way so that we're not domineering, so that we're not slacking off, so that we're not being overbearing. In other words, that we are teaching and discipling in a way that's not turning people off. So let me just say that before I go forward. So there's a responsibility of parents. There's a responsibility of the church as a whole and who we disciple. That we want to take heart to disciple and parent young people and one another in a way that's engaging and doesn't turn them off because of who we are. They might get turned off by what we say or what we're guiding them to do if they're in rebellion to the Lord. But we do want to take to heart how we're parenting and how we're discipling. Now, that's not the focus today, but I just want to say that. Now, moving forward, in this passage, there's a strong emphasis here on the young person, and again, it would apply for all of us, that we would receive the words and treasure up the commandments that are being passed on to us. If you receive my words, he says. So let me ask, let's start with young people. Are we doing that? Are you receiving the words that your parents and those who are older than you are passing on to you? Are you treasuring up the commandments that they give to you? If you receive my words, and if you treasure up my commandments, this is a call, and this is something that other people, no one can make you do. It's a choice. It's a choice that we're to make by the Spirit of God, but will we do this? And here the scripture gives us some insight in how to do that, how to receive the words with attentive ear, how to treasure up commandments by inclining your heart. So we have an ear that's attentive. We have a heart that's inclined. We want to be taught. We're teachable. We have the right heart. And this is not always reflective in young people. We have this, and it's not always reflective in older people. We have this sin nature that doesn't like to be taught, the sin nature that wants to go our own way, and so forth. But Proverbs starts off with a call to embrace the wisdom that's being passed on down. And one of the most effective ways to be discipled is to take these words to heart, that we want to be receiving the words and treasuring the commandments that are passed to us. So, first of all, let's just ask all ourselves, do we have that heart towards people? For a young person, toward the parenting and the discipleship we're giving or that's offered? And whatever our age, do we have a heart where we want to receive the words of instruction? That we want to treasure the commandments? Our sin nature doesn't. But it starts with the right heart and the right perspective. Verses 1 and 2. Moving on, verse 3, we see the second if. And we see that we seek wisdom by calling out and asking for it. And this is from godly people and ultimately from the Lord. Notice verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. This is now taking it a step further. In the first couple of verses, there's a call to have the right heart and perspective. I will receive the words of instruction and wisdom being taught to me. I will treasure the commandments that are being given. Okay? Now, I know sometimes with young people or those of us that are older, and if we're being discipled or being lovingly confronted or something, sometimes that's not our attitude. We don't want to hear it. And we're thinking, maybe it's all my parents around me about this again. Or I've got this brother or sister in Christ, and no, I just don't want to hear it. I want to go my way. I'm not open to it. Well, the first two verses rebuke that. As Christians, we're called to have an attitude where we want to receive being taught. We want to treasure the commandments. But now we're going a step deeper. It's not just that we should receive it when it's offered, but we're actually supposed to ask for it. Notice again verse 3. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. So the next time your parents or someone who's discipling you is trying to guide you in the right way, you're thinking, I don't want to hear it anymore. Well, Scripture actually rebukes that. And what it says is we need to not only hear it, but we need to ask for more of it. And here's why we don't want to do that. Now, I've already said, sometimes if I'm a flawed father, I'm a flawed pastor, I don't always disciple or parent in a right way. I've acknowledged that. And so if we're in the role of the parenting or the discipleship, we need to be taking to heart how to do that in a Christ-like way. But ultimately, as we're offered godly instruction and wisdom, here's the number one reason why we don't want it. It's that nasty five-letter word that's worse than any four-letter word. It's called pride. I don't want to receive the instruction because of my pride. And Scripture not only rebukes that, but says, Marcus, you need to go a step further. Don't just receive what's being offered to you. You need to ask for it. When is the last time you asked for instruction? When is the last time you proactively called out for insight or raised your voice for understanding? If we'll do it with the right heart, well, we actually begin to enjoy it. Doesn't mean it's never painful or embarrassing. But here's what Proverbs calls us to do. Not just receive the instruction when it's offered, but we need to proactively ask for it. Call out. Raise your voice. Seek wisdom by calling out and asking for it from godly people. And ultimately, this is from the Lord, because the godly instruction we get from people ultimately comes from the Lord. So let me just ask all of us just to think for a moment. Is there pride getting in the way of us not only receiving instruction when it's offered, but it's even hindering us asking for it? Thank God for His Word. The third if, verse 4, we see that we should seek wisdom as true riches and a hidden treasure. Here's the last if. If you seek it, wisdom, instruction, commands, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Not only should we be open to it, not only should we ask for it, but we should seek it like the world would seek after silver or riches, or like someone who's seeking after hidden treasure. I'm sure many of you have seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. And they're seeking the Ark of the Covenant because they think, hey, if we can get a hold of this Ark of the Covenant, then God will be on our side. And it's messed up theology in multiple ways. But they're going out of their way to find this lost Ark of the Covenant. And there's other movies and stories and so forth, and things where there's something hidden that's a treasure or that's very valuable, and people will seek it. And they'll go out of their way. Proverbs calls us to seek wisdom more than wealth. To seek wisdom as if it's a treasure that's hidden. And like the world will go after hidden things that they think is valuable, Scripture holds up wisdom as a treasure. And it's hidden because of our sin.
God reveals it to us, but part of the way he reveals wisdom to us is by calling us to seek it. And as we seek it, that helps get some of the junk out of our lives to begin with, like pride, because we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge we don't have it. We need a God. We need to, and we're dependent on God.
Proverbs expands on this, so I'll read a moment here from chapter 3 in verses 13 to 15. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. In other words, Scripture's saying we should seek wisdom, and it's more valuable than money.
And wealth and security, those things are important. We need money and so forth to operate in this world. But Christians should think differently than people in the world in multiple ways, and here's one of them. When we're thinking about the job that we have, or if you're in school, or if you're in college, or if you have a job but you want to switch or whatever, when those things are very important. But Scripture calls us to recognize that more important than the degree that we get, the job that we have, how much money's in the bank, more important is this. Do we have wisdom? It's more valuable than gold. Seek it like the world seeks silver. You need it, because without it, your life's going to self-destruct. You need wisdom.
Seek it as if it's true riches, because it is. As if it's a hidden treasure. It is a treasure. It is hidden because of our sin, but God reveals it to us. So, here's a summary of these first four verses. We're called to seek wisdom, and there's three ifs. We haven't got to what comes yet. We're about to, but there's three ifs. If you'll receive the word of instruction, if you'll treasure the command, so if you'll be receptive, you have a right heart, if you'll ask for it, so that the next time you're given instruction and you don't want to hear it, stop and ask yourself, when's the last time I actually asked for it? I mean, one thing that's tough, whether it's as parents or as leaders or just discipling in general or being a godly friend, is sometimes you can see something in someone's life, but you haven't really been invited to speak it. It's so much easier to speak, and many times it's more well received when that person asks for it. Well, if that person is you or me, one thing that helps is if we'll cry out and ask for help, ask for wisdom. And then along with that, we'll be receptive, we'll ask for it, and we'll seek it as if it's true riches, because it is, God's wisdom. And with God's wisdom comes knowing God and knowing how to live. And there's blessings that come with that, and that brings us to main point number two. The Lord blesses the godly. Amen and hallelujah. And he does it by his grace that's in Christ Jesus, and he does it for his glory. And now Proverbs, written to God's people Israel in the Old Testament days, and so we seek to understand it as it was written, but also through the lens of the New Testament and the Gospel. And just as a side note here, the Old and New Testament, we need them to understand each other. We can't understand the New Testament and the Gospel without the foundation of the Old Testament. At the same time, we can't fully understand the Old Testament without the revelation of the New. In fact, because we live in the days since Jesus has come, we actually have more insight and understanding to the Old Testament, because part of what the Old Testament taught was things that hadn't come yet. Now, many of those things have come because of Christ, and we're still waiting for some of it when he returns. But so as we look at Proverbs, we want to look here at what it has to say, but also through the lens of the New Testament, and I'll give an example of that as we go through, primarily that the ultimate wisdom is Christ, and we'll see that. But let me just say, as a starting point here, as we look through verses 5 through 8, to know that the Lord, Yahweh, the God who is, the God who's called a people into fellowship with himself, he loves to bless. And part of the way he blesses is he blesses us with wisdom. And he chooses to bless his people with more blessings when we seek wisdom. And as I said at the beginning of the sermon, I want to emphasize that in Proverbs there's a strong theme here. If you'll do this, blessings will come.
It's just important to recognize that it doesn't start with us. In other words, God blesses those he calls to obey him before they ever obey him. Because he's writing, these words are written to Israel. Where did Israel come from? Well, let's move backwards a little bit. They had come out of 400 years of slavery. Who delivered them? That would be God. And where did those people who were in slavery come from? Well, they came from Jacob and his 12 sons, who came from Isaac, who was born from Abraham and Sarah. And when he was born, Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100 years old. The only reason Isaac was even able to be conceived and born is by a promise and miracle of God. So this whole people that these words are written to are here because of a promise. It's nothing they did themselves. God loves to bless. And he blesses us first and then calls us to obey him. And if we do so, more blessings come. He's awesome. Well, a few thoughts here as we look at verses 5 to 8 on the Lord's blessings. First, the Lord blesses the godly to understand the fear of the Lord. And I've summarized fear of the Lord this way. You could say it different ways. It's a humble, reverent, and obedient heart towards God that fears his displeasure and his discipline. I'll expound on that in a moment, but notice again verse 5. We finally get the then, okay? There was three ifs. If you'll be receptive, if you'll ask, if you'll seek wisdom as if it's true riches. If you'll do these things, then something comes. Well, here's one thing that comes. Then you and I will understand the fear of the Lord. And that's a very precious thing to understand. If, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Verse 5. We'll look at knowledge of God here in a moment. So if we'll do these things. The fear of the Lord is not that we go around, I'm afraid of God. But fearing the Lord, first of all, it's a humility. It's a recognizing God is God and I am not. And with that humility comes a reverence where we want him to be honored and glorified, not ourselves or other things. And with that humility and reverence comes an obedience. By fearing the Lord, that, among other things, means we obey him, not man and not self. In the spirit and power of God, we obey God. So we have an obedient heart, we have a reverent heart, we have a humble heart. We fear the Lord. And with that fear, with that humility, with that reverence, that worship, with that obedience, in our heart, there's this healthy fear of, I don't want to displease God. Number one, because he saved me and transformed me, I want him to get the glory and I want him to be pleased with me so that he is glorified. Now, in our sin nature, we don't always feel that way. But in our Christian lives, that's how we're called to walk. And so fearing the Lord includes, I have a healthy fear, I have a desire where I don't want to dishonor God, and when I do, I want to make it right. I do not want to displease him. I also have a healthy fear of his discipline. Now let me say that the Lord's discipline is a good thing. So let me clarify what I am saying. Let me read here from Hebrews chapter 12, a passage many of you know. Scripture says the following. I'll start in verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So the Lord's discipline, and we don't always know how he's doing it or sometimes even when he's doing it. Sometimes it's more obvious as we look back on our life. But his discipline is how he purifies us, how he guides us, how he puts us in the places and doing his will, and how he's transforming us into his image. And discipline is not just I'm correcting you, but I'm molding you and shaping you. And the Lord does that for those he loves. Sometimes you may notice it seems like some people in this world, they get away with things that I don't. If you've ever felt that way. Or they just have it easier than I do. Well, maybe it's because the Lord is disciplining you or me in that area of our life, and he's doing it out of love because we're his children, and he's not just going to let us go our own way. He's going to be a faithful father who lovingly disciplines us.
However, what that doesn't mean is we say, oh, the Lord's discipline's good, so I'll just live however I want and I'll get more discipline. Having a fear of the Lord means we fear His discipline in the sense that we recognize His discipline is good, but it's also painful, which we see if you read on here in Hebrews chapter 12. Scripture says this, verse 11, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So in other words, we're grateful for the Lord's discipline, but we don't want to live in such a way whereas we're inflicting more discipline on ourselves and so forth. We have a healthy fear of the Lord. We have humility, we have reverence, we have obedience, and out of that flows a genuine desire that I do not want to displease God. And I have a healthy fear of His discipline, recognizing if I go my own way, there's consequences, and I have a healthy fear of that. And through it all, we rejoice because we know the Lord blesses the godly, and with one of those things is, it's an understanding of the fear of the Lord. And with that understanding, we recognize that when I embrace humility, when I embrace reverence for God, when I obey God, when I fear the Lord, blessings come in my life. I understand what the fear of the Lord means, and I understand why it's the right way to live. And part of the way we get that understanding is, as we obey God one step at a time, as we receive wisdom, as we ask for wisdom, as we seek wisdom, the Lord teaches us how to fear Him, what it means and how to do it, and we're blessed. Next thing, the Lord blesses the godly to find the knowledge of God, which I've defined this way, a correct understanding of God's self and the world. In Proverbs, there's some things that go hand in hand. They're a little bit different, but we'll see themes of wisdom, we'll see themes of understanding, we'll see themes of knowledge. And this knowledge of God has to do with, it includes knowing God, but not just that I know God, but I have knowledge of God then about, which includes how I should live. Because in Scripture, the foundation for how we live flows out of first knowing God in the person of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. That then affects how we live. So verse 5 again. If we'll do these things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So as we're receiving wisdom, as we're asking for it, as we're seeking it like a hidden treasure, the Lord gives us wisdom, and part of what comes with that is the knowledge of God. I know God, and I understand, I have a better understanding of myself and of this world, and then with that, I have a better understanding of how to live. And that rises out of all that. And it's a blessing that comes. Moving on, verse 6, we see that the Lord blesses the godly by giving His people wisdom. And for us as Christians today, this ultimately comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 is key here in chapter 2, and it's a key verse for all of Proverbs. Proverbs has a strong emphasis on wisdom, and it emphasizes our call to get wisdom and seek it and obey it. But here's a very strong part of that truth. Verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom." And there's a little bit of an irony here because Proverbs calls us to get wisdom, to receive it, ask for it, seek it. But here in verse 6, we find out why, if we receive wisdom, why, if we ask for it, why, if we seek it, why is it even possible to get it to begin with? Is it because we're so smart? Is it because we've asked for it so humbly or sought it so hard? We have a part in that. But here's the number one reason why God's people get wisdom. He's the Lord and He gives it to us. The Lord gives wisdom. Hallelujah. And that wisdom first helps us know who He is and live in a relationship with Him. Second of all, it shows us how to live, shows us how to understand this world. Praise God, the Lord Yahweh, He gives wisdom. It's wisdom for His people. The Lord blesses the godly by giving His people wisdom. And we know the focus is for His people, first of all, because scholars help us know who Proverbs was written to and so forth, but the very fact that the word Lord, with the lower capital letters O-R-D, referring to Yahweh, which is the name God gave himself and revealed to his people. So when we see that the Lord, Yahweh, gives wisdom, that's the name of God that is for his people. So it's the wisdom that's given for his people. And on that note, as Christians, let me say, for us, this wisdom ultimately comes from the person of Jesus. Let me read from a well-known passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, some godly believers there, but it was a church that unfortunately was too much like the culture, and it had some serious problems, pride being one of them, and also valuing what the world thought was wise or valuable. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, I'll start in verse 26, Paul is rebuking that, and he says, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Things that are weak in the world's eyes or shameful and so forth are things like humility, dependence on God, putting your faith in a man who was nailed to a cross. That's foolishness in the world's eyes. Loving your enemies, really? But in God's perspective, that's what wisdom is. Then Paul goes on. "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord." Ultimately, if we want to be wise people, fix your eyes on Jesus. Embrace his heart. Look at him in the scriptures. Walk with him. Now there's practical things that go with that, thank God for the book of Proverbs. And we're doing it some highlights here from Proverbs. But the ultimate expression of wisdom, God's wisdom, is the person of Jesus and his gospel message. And God blesses the godly as we seek wisdom, and he blesses us as we seek wisdom by giving us wisdom. Hallelujah. And ultimately, we want to know what wisdom really looks like. Take a look at Jesus and follow him. Hallelujah. Moving on, verses 7 and 8. The Lord blesses the godly by protecting his saints, who walk in integrity and live justly. So here in these opening verses of Proverbs 2, we saw the three ifs. If you'll receive instruction and treasure commands, if you'll ask for it, if you'll seek it like a hidden treasure, then blessings come. You'll understand the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God, and this is because the Lord gives wisdom. And then there's one other thing that's emphasized in this part of the passage, that along with wisdom comes God's protection. Now, God's protection starts even before we're ever walking with God. And perhaps some of you, especially if you became a Christian later in life, you may be able to look back in your life and see how God was protecting you when you weren't living for him. You were living your own way. Or it might be if we have children or loved ones who are not walking with God, but we've seen his hand upon them. And out of his mercy and grace, he has protected them or us when we're living our own way. He's a gracious God. But if we're not a Christian, we don't have that guarantee that it's going to happen. And by protection, let me clarify, that doesn't mean no harm or nothing bad will happen. But we do have this assurance, if we're a Christian, God will not allow anything to touch our life that he does not have a plan for. And that he cannot bring good out of. And there's a mystery there because of our human freedom and our choosing to sin along with God's purposes. And we can't
fully understand it, I don't think, in this life, maybe in the next life as God reveals it to us. But our God protects his people. When I quote this often because to me it's so powerful. I think one of the great examples of this is in the end of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing. He is in a dungeon. He's waiting to be executed. It's probably the last letter that he wrote. And he says that the Lord will rescue me from every trial or from the lion's mouth. Well, he writes that knowing that he's going to die. And multiple times Paul had been rescued in the sense of his life was spared. Some of those times he was rescued, his life was spared, but he was beaten horribly. Or he suffered, went without food, was out in the cold, and so forth. So the Lord protected Paul, but his protection came in different ways. Sometimes it included suffering, other times it included no suffering. The last way God protected him was by allowing, it was probably the Roman Emperor Nero, and he was probably beheaded. Since he was a Roman citizen, he couldn't be crucified. So historians tell us that's probably what happened. The ultimate way God protected Paul was by having him be killed, but preserving him in his faith and bringing him safely into his heavenly kingdom. God protects people in general, according to his perfect plan. But if we're a Christian and we're seeking to live a godly life, there's an added blessing that comes with it. Again, we haven't earned it, but it's by his grace. And one of the things Proverbs teaches us is, if we will seek wisdom and live according to wisdom, protection comes in bountiful ways. Doesn't mean no harm or no trials, but there'll be protection. And notice the way the psalmist says it, verse 7, about the Lord. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Verse 8, guarding the paths of justice. This is another theme in Proverbs, that we're called to live justly for the poor and oppressed, the widows and the orphans and so forth. And watching over the way of his saints. And it's not just that God protects us in our life, but he watches over our way, our journey. It's kind of like in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He'll clear what's in front of you. He'll clear it out so that the evil and the so forth that God doesn't want around you, he'll clear the path. Now, temptation will still be there. The evil one can still attack. But at the same time, God makes straight our path. He clears the way. He watches over our way because he loves us and he wants to bless us. He does that because he does it, but he also does it in abundance as we seek wisdom and seek to live accordingly. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord blesses. So I'll just close with this. Think about those three ifs from Proverbs 2. The next time, if it's your parents, or if it's someone who's discipling you, or if it's a friend, and you've got a bad attitude about receiving their insight or their instruction, remember these three ifs. If you'll receive the instruction, if you'll call out and ask for it, if you'll seek it like it's a hidden treasure, then the blessings will come. Let's pray.